All right. Welcome to KGVM Bozeman tonight. We're back with the first live interview we've done for Local Musician Spotlight for quite some time. It's things have been a little disrupted, as I'm sure everybody's painfully aware. So I'm glad to be back in the KGVM studios. Tonight we have Desperate Electric with us. And I didn't ask you, you guys went by the name Dash previously?
We did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe music fans around Bozeman might have known you by that name, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
possibly.
So.
Very possibly.
It's good to be here, though. Good to be doing something that resembles normalcy, you know?
We're ready. We're definitely ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a little too long, I think. So, so you've been elsewhere through the winter, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been pretty much up until like the pandemic, we've been touring pretty much full time for about a year and a half. So we've been on the road like through the winter, all last year, and then up until the pandemic, and all of our shows got canceled in the span of like 48 hours. And then when that happened, we didn't have a place here in Bozeman anymore because we just couldn't justify spending that money when we were going to be here like 15 days last year. And we were like, we can't do that. That seems silly. So we kind of had to redirect a little bit, and because we had tour plans basically through like at least the end of the summer back in February. Those were our plans were through like August. And so we definitely had to kind of make a snap decision, redirect a little bit. And one of our good friends from Missoula offered us a place, and so we've been hanging out in Missoula for the last couple months.
Yeah, cool. Nice that worked out.
Definitely.
Bozeman is definitely not the place to keep a dwelling if you're not going to be there.
No.
We felt that very much.
Yeah, man.
As much as we love it.
It's not an inexpensive place to live, that's for sure.
It's not.
So things starting to ease back open a little bit, and you're
a little bit. I don't know. I think it's probably going to be a while before we can like tour full time around the country like we have been. But we have some shows around Montana, and then maybe like a Northern Idaho show that hasn't yet been canceled in like July and August. But
tentative,
it's just a couple
summer gigs, you know, that are. Yeah. Outside and socially distanced and all that kind of stuff.
But they can follow the rules, the guidelines, which is super important. But yeah, we're starting to see kind of playing around here. But I just don't know. Like, we were supposed to be headed to the East Coast this fall, and
it's not happening so much right now.
Yeah, travel is still not recommended.
We're honestly just glad to have radio interviews back at this point.
Get something out there at least.
Yeah.
Keep yourself in the minds of people a little bit anyway.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, as much as we can.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's going to be pretty dicey. Regardless of what things are looking at like now, it's like trying to make plans for fall is whew.
I know. We really haven't been able to, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you book a tour, you book it like 6 months in advance, like at least, you know. Like we're like a small scale tour. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to book anything because everything's so uncertain. So even if things do open up or we could potentially get out on the road, everybody will be really unprepared for that because we can't prepare for it because nobody knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's all way too uncertain right now.
We're looking at, you know, maybe spring 2021.
Yeah.
Might have to be next summer, next fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we're full-blown on the road again.
Yeah.
So, I would guess that for more than a few musicians, there will be a pandemic album or like a lot of people have had a lot of time to write a lot of music. And has that been your experience?
So. Yeah. And part of the reason we went to Missoula is that our friend there has a studio. So we've been able to, I've just been trying to hone my craft in there and produce as good a music as I can for us. And we've been writing a lot, working on new songs. And I mean, luckily, I guess our project is just the two of us, so you know, we don't have to try to get the drummer in with like a mask on to put some takes down or whatever, you know. So we're working on music, plenty of stuff in the works.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that everything, the works are gummed up and everything. So like trying to actually put out an album, if you wanted to do physical media, I don't know, but I'd have to guess even that's kind of dicey right now.
Yeah, we did. So we just released an album that we recorded last year in May, and we toyed with the idea of releasing it or not releasing it. Like, what do we do? You know, we have all these, it's a 15 song album. We spent 2 weeks recording it in December, and we were like, do we just sit on it? And then, because we're currently supposed to be on our album release tour, like that's coast to coast. Mm-hmm. And we really struggled with that when we first realized that the album release shows and the tour were not going to happen. It was like, well, do we still release it? Do we still put it out? And ultimately, we just decided to put it out because they have time on their hands. That's they can true. Listen to music.
Listen, yeah.
So we can promote it as best we can from home. And then when we get back out on the road, we'll have tons of material. We'll have that album, hopefully more new music. But even just like ordering CDs and stuff for that process, it took like double the time to do anything. I mean, it's just a lot of systems and companies are just backed up. People can't work. People aren't working. It's just, I don't think very many of us have ever seen anything like this. It's been very interesting.
Yeah, it's a trying time. I know, and I know, you know, it's a lot of people have had a lot of different experiences with it, like being out of work. And I know, I don't know how it was for you, but I know I've heard from other musicians, they put together the stimulus thing and they were trying to figure out ways to get money to people that are gig workers and stuff. And the things I've heard were that maybe that could have been better organized. It could have gone better. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've been approved for such things, but are still awaiting.
Yeah,
I think, and a lot of the the kind of fundraisers people put together, I think they tried to do them. I mean, there's just so many people that do this that are artists or gig workers or musicians or whatever it is, and there's so many people that are out of work because of that. Like, you can't even begin to like divvy that out. You know, like there's just so many people that need the help and deserve the help and, you know, like have worked really hard to create these careers in music or art or whatever it is and that they can't do right now. I mean, the music industry was like the first thing to go. Like the first thing to get shut down were concert venues and like basketball court, you know, like like sporting events.
Sports and music were
the first things to get shut down. And so I think, I mean, that leads me to believe it's going to be the last thing to come back.
Yeah.
And I just, you know,
I mean, at least
you can only fundraise so much.
You know, musicians live on a tight budget anyway.
Yeah.
That's true.
Definitely out of work. It's like, we do it because we love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was wondering if you guys want to maybe do a couple songs here while we're...
Sure thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Easing into our first interview after lockdown.
Yeah. Shake off the cobwebs.
Yeah. The first song we're going to play is a song we just released. It's not on our album. It's newer than the album. We recorded it over in Missoula. Wrote it, recorded it a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of a quarantine jam.
It is.
A bit.
It's called Drinking Instead.
Now I can't get out of my bed.
stuff ain't going so good. But if I could make a better girl, you know that I would. Not that that means much after the hostage in the bowl that I put you through. I'm still glued to you no matter what you do, so might as well have another drink. Help you drown out the truth, you see, and make those people talking shit a piece of history.
I'm drinking instead. You're all in my head. Yeah, yeah. I'm drinking instead. Can't get you out of my head. Oh. I'm drinking instead.
Seems like a thing that you might be doing in when you're in lockdown, yeah. For sure.
You try to be productive for so long, and then it's like, oh, all right, yes. I'm cracking a beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we want to play next here?
What do you lately? This is a song off our album. It's called Lately.
Only call me.
That was pretty.
Thanks.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's one of our favorites off the new album.
It's true. It's a personal fave for both of us, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun to play live.
It's a rare combo. Yeah.
It is.
Have a personal fave.
Yeah. It's
the same time. When they line
it's
true. Up.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
So, where did you record the album?
We recorded the album in Astoria, Oregon, at a studio called The Rope Room. One of Ben's super good friends from high school that went to school to become a recording engineer. He's the house engineer out there. Cool. And so he was somebody whose ears we wanted on the project for sure. And it's just a really unique spot. I mean, Astoria is really cool. I'd never been there before. It was really fun to kind of get out somewhere new, you know, like we've done so much, everything else we've recorded, it's been in Montana, and we were really excited to just kind of really go for a more immersive process.
See what the change of scenery would do for us, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, very immersive. It was just 2 weeks straight. That's all we did every day, 10 or so hours a day. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got 15 songs out of it, though.
Nice.
We love them all.
So you had the album, you did CDs, did you do vinyl?
No,
we
vinyl.
Didn't do, it's too, we would have to do a double vinyl because of the length. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I wish we could put it on vinyl.
We definitely hope to do maybe pre-orders of those.
Yeah.
At some point
yeah. later on down the road. We,
yeah, hopefully when we can, you know, tour with them again too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of
just extra hard to sell.
It's
you know?
Putting a hitch in to get along.
So do you have it on online as well, I suppose?
Yeah, it's everywhere, you know.
Spotify, Bandcamp, iTunes, SoundCloud.
We've got hard CDs too though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Those just arrived this week actually.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah. And that's how long it took to get here.
Yeah, that's tough. A lot of anticipation. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been, I was a pretty big fan of Bandcamp already, but the last few months and, you know, the days when they've had the deals where they didn't take any, cut of anything,
Friday.
It's like, man,
it's
that's
first
a...
Friday of every month, I think.
Yeah. I've bought way too much music that way, but
that's awesome.
It's, you know, it's just, it's great to see companies when, you know, in these times where everything's like just really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably not really great for them either, but no. Being willing to, you know, help share the pain a little bit, I think is a pretty decent thing to do.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Absolutely, we feel really thankful for that.
But, yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming the amount of music that's out there now that it's so easy to actually find it. It's like, poof, you need somebody to help you.
It's
sort
true.
Through all of it, through it and find good
there's
things.
There's like infinite music, I feel like. I just
discover
something new every day, which is awesome. That's incredible. Like that's the world we live in, that you can so quickly discover other music that you love.
Yeah.
But it also, it adds a layer of difficulty as well, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, it was not like it was easy to make a living as a musician before. It's like,
right.
No, it's never been easy.
It was a
golden
day for that. You know?
No.
It's just like kind of layer on layer getting piled on there. But, you know, I do think that the availability of a lot of small studios now, or the possibilities of setting up your own home studio, you know, maybe you're not going to do an album that way, but can do great demos and stuff. Yeah. Is I think that's a kind of a boon. You don't have to go make some kind of Robert Johnson deal to get an album made anymore with some big record company and stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps a little bit. You know,
you can kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I guess.
Yeah, and scrap your way up that way.
Yeah, you can. You. The fact that it's the means to record at least a demo are just much more accessible than I think they ever have been. I think that makes it easier for a lot of people just because studio time and a recording engineer and all the bells and whistles, that adds up quickly. So being able to like find smaller studios or work on stuff yourself, like I feel like recording demos at a nice studio is not... You don't need to do that. It's not a necessity. So just being able to do it, and I don't know. I think that does help independent music artists a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so you said you'd recorded some stuff previously around Bozeman and
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we worked with Cody Lindblom for our first album with Dash, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He has, Dioscuri Studios. He does great.
Out in Belgrade.
Great work, yeah.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm. We went to college with him.
Oh.
So we've been friends with him for quite a while now, and he's just totally like a gear nerd and just loves all of it. Loves it all, and he's been great to record with.
And we've also recorded with Patch William.
Yeah.
Who's a really good hip hop artist and just has a great ear. Yeah. Awesome production. He's really inventive with it too. He's
one of our favorite people to work with. Absolutely. But everybody we've worked with, we've just loved. Like, we've never ever
just want to get everyone.
I know. Now we just gotta get the whole team. We'll see.
So did your music change much from Dash to Desperate Electric?
Kind of. I mean, the presentation changed, and kind of the overall, like, some qualities of the sound changed. But a lot of the songs, I mean, we play all our songs now as the duo. We, you know, all of the songs from when we were Dash, a lot of the songs on our album we played with a full band. And we just kind of redirected them to be able to do this. So it's still like the same content. It's just being presented a little bit differently. And honestly, probably more so now in a way that we originally intended versus like with the band structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really hard to not let a rock band just be a rock band because it's too fun. Like, it's too fun. And that's, I think
the energy
we
at the live shows where you're just everyone's shredding, you know. It's and like, all right, we're rocking now. You know,
we love like R&B and soul music and just more genres like that, more music along the lines of that. And it got a little bit away from us with the full band because we just had way too much fun kind of being a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're able to take those songs or new songs or whatever and kind of really push them in the direction that we want. I mean, on our album, like, there are songs where we did live drums because that's... So we have... I feel like we have more freedom now to kind of take each song in the direction that we want it to and we really feel like it needs, not just because it's fun to rock out, which is, like, also great and was an amazing experience and really fun, but I just think that our music and the songs we write are almost better suited to what we're doing now.
Mm. Just it's nice to have just, you know, open horizon with them. It's like it could go in a R&B kind of route, a soul route, rock, just jazz, you know, really just whatever we're feeling, whatever suits the song.
Yeah.
And we like that we're a very, like, multi-genre artist, project, whatever, just because, you know, you don't have to be like, this doesn't fit our brand enough or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like we just kind of get
we don't think about that at all. Yeah. We just create, and we both have so many influences, and they're all so different, and it's pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we
the
don't
classic. Everyone says that, but it's true.
It is. Yeah. It's true, and we've gone through tons of different phases, and so I think that just it's been nice to have a little bit more like creative freedom with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Really take it where we want.
Kind of not worry so much about what kind of labels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not just what labels that other people might put on it, but like your bandmates, right?
Yeah. It's
like,
right.
I've always, like, you know, I swear I've been in a band where like the bassist like wanted this to be like a reggae band. The drummer's trying to play metal. And it's just like, it's clashing. And it's like, you know, it becomes very sensitive what genre we call the band.
Right.
At that point,
Yeah.
So it's,
So, you know, looking out, assuming that at some point the creeping crud's going to finally creep away, do you think you'll probably continue performing as a duo? Yeah.
That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. I love it personally. I love it so much. It's because we want to tour full time. Being the duo makes it incredibly sustainable, but I feel like we've also gotten it down to a really good science where it really portrays like the songs how we want them to be. Like, we can really finesse it, you know, like, because Ben programs all our drums or tracks them and plays them live, and then we, like, program them a little bit from there. And I play bass live, and Ben switches between guitar and keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can really do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Which is really, really nice, especially when we do want to play a multi-genre set situation, whatever. I mean, it's been really... really fun. And for us, I mean, just to be able to do it together and
Yeah, we tried to take Dash on the road, and it's just it helps so much as a duo to just be such a lean operation.
Yeah.
Trying to take four people on the road. It's like people got work schedules, people got life commitments, just whatever it is, you know. People don't want to sleep in the van every night. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this makes
Which
sense.
Is totally understandable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does. It makes it just almost more like user-friendly for us because we can really like cut it down to the nitty-gritty and just really, you know, make it work because we want it to work and we want that's what we want to be doing is touring. And we have made it sustainable for ourselves as soon as you and we've done tours where we've had like just a drummer as well, like as a three piece. We've toured as a four piece, a three piece, and now just been the two piece for about exactly a year now.
About a year.
But even adding one extra person, it just it makes it so much more expensive.
Yeah.
And because like as any musician knows, your income fluctuates so much. Mm-hmm. It's so unreliable. It's just not ever, like you might get paid $2,000 or $3,000 or you might get paid $50. Like it literally, so it's just, it's been really, really fun to just have it be the two of us because it's a lot less stressful like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you're doing it full time, it needs to be as stressless as possible.
Manageable.
Yeah, exactly. It turns out I kind of imagined that unless you're doing like hardcore punk or something, stress probably doesn't really add to the music.
As
you try to make music and cope with stress.
Try to be a good time, you know. Say I can't just be a bucket of stress at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta let it go.
Yep.
Cool. Well, you want to play some more songs?
Yeah, sounds great.
Do the groove? More out here. Yeah, this one's called The Groove.
It's also from the album. The space in my head is clear and blue. Just need to get back to my roots. It ain't got nothing to do with you. Just need to get back in the groove.
Back in the groove.
Oh, hey.
Back in the groove.
Oh.
Travels ain't no smarter than my friends, ain't no Ben Kenobi. But I remember thinking the girl I'm with now would never ever know me. But I'm progressing slowly, all of the time and money spent, man, what the hell, no. Nobody can validate you other than yourself. Could've told me that before I gonna spend the cash that I don't have on things I don't need. So I get millennial messed up. Any old drink will do. Oh, to prop me up some green to keep me glued. Try to wake me up, but it's all I do. I hit the snooze and get back in the groove. I wanna make you lose your mind. I wanna make you lose your mind.
can't seem to find a single clue to what it is that I'm supposed to do. Just need to get back in the groove.
Back in the groove.
That's the groove.
Off of our album, Still Not Giving You Up.
Came out almost exactly a month ago, during the quarantine.
A little quarantine release there.
Yeah.
What are we playing next here, Katie? Wanna do Lying?
Sure. This is off our album. It does sound fun. We haven't played this. I mean, we haven't played anything in so long.
Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Just stay on my mind.
Cool. If you are just tuning in, this is KGVM Bozeman. We're in the studio here in KGVM for the first time in a long time with Desperate Electric for the Local Musician Spotlight. And glad you guys could come in tonight. It's nice to get back to doing something kind of normal.
Kind of normal. I know. Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're just trying to do anything to maintain some semblance of normalcy for ourselves and also for, you know, the music community. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. It's been hard for me not to be able to go to shows or listen to my friends.
You know, you're starting to feel that, like, you got to watch, like, old shows. If you want to, like, you know, there's live streams from people's living rooms and stuff, you know, but it's...
There's only so much you can watch on YouTube and Facebook Live.
It's true. We did some live streams for, like, the first 6 or so weeks of quarantine, and then we were like, I don't know how many more of these we can do. Like, they're fun.
You can only
pretend
you're playing to a real crowd so many times. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm really not playing to a real crowd now.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing because it does help you stay connected. It helps people stay connected to you. You can stay connected to artists, but I think that it's difficult.
It's still not a real
thing. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's not the real thing.
It's not the real thing.
Glad we got it, but...
Yeah, turns out as people we're still pretty hardwired to need like real contact with other
human
people.
Interaction.
That Zoom is not that's not quite
doesn't
it.
Doesn't quite cut it, unfortunately. Yeah, the human contact is
we miss it.
Yeah, very missed. It's
getting closer.
It is. It does feel like it's closer than it was. I have to say that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, opinions and predictions and everything go back and forth and back and forth, but it certainly seems like the understanding now is that things will be less dangerous outside in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some opportunity there, hopefully, for doing some things outside. And
yeah.
And I mean, you know, if you're in Montana, that's what you want to be doing in the summer anyway, right?
So that was more or less our plan.
Yeah.
For July, at least. So hopefully we can still maintain some of that because we're missing it.
Yeah, we're missing
it. We're getting
it.
A little sir crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I get a little shack nasty after a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's tough. It came at just the time when, you know, winter in Montana is usually a little rough anyway. And it's like just this winter was starting to kind of get a little less vicious. It's like, oh, then here comes the next lockdown.
Yeah, now we've got to be locked in our houses.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're nice or not.
Yeah,
should have spent that winter outside, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. More snowshoeing and skiing.
Yep.
So, have you thought about with the material that you've come up with? Are you thinking about another album or?
Yeah, we're indecisive on how we want to, I guess, package it like that. You know, we're. It's mainly single songs that are coming together right now. So we'll put out a string of singles, I think, throughout the rest of this year.
Maybe a couple of little EPs.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right now, I think that's... We just... Like, as we can be creative, because that's another thing, too. It's like, we, you know, it's hard to be creative right now. I think a lot of people are going through that. They're like, oh, don't you have unlimited time now to create? And it's like... Sort of.
It doesn't feel like the time to write like a silly love song.
Yeah,
like, you know, some of your maybe normal topics.
Yeah, it doesn't feel super genuine, but I don't want every song to be like really depressing because that's not going to help me or anybody else if that's everything we churn out. So I think right now, like, we've got a lot of stuff in the works and we just kind of want to release songs or like singles or EPs for the rest of the year. And then, I mean, for like the last album, it just kind of came together. Like, it just. All of a sudden, one day, like, we knew we wanted to record an album, but one day we just sat down and it kind of became, you know, like, we had songs that we'd written, we had songs we wanted to finish writing, and we were like, these all really fit well together. They're kind of one cohesive package of, like, this time in our life that we were going through right then. It was, like, some old stuff of Ben's and some songs I had written and a bunch of stuff we'd written together, like... A year and a half ago, and it just
some
really...
Some stuff we wrote in the studio, too.
Yeah, we wrote some stuff in the studio, but it kind of just came together really, like, towards the end of last year, right before we went into the studio.
Even as we started recording it, it was kind of like, all right, so it's like ballpark, like these 20 songs, you know, it's ballpark. And then by the end of it, like 15 of them really had a nice, clear progression to us.
Yeah.
And
it's, yeah. So it's that could definitely happen. By the end of this year, we might have so many songs, and it's like they work. They work as an album. They feel like a cohesive body of work for us. Yeah. But
right for
now,
we're in the uncontained just creation.
Yeah.
Just making things, just churn throwing stuff it all out there, seeing what happens.
Yeah. It's funny what you said about, you know, and I'm certainly one of these people that, you know, if someone held a gun to my head and said, write a song, I'd be dead. But, you know, I think people, but so many people don't really understand what the process is like. It's like, it's easy for people to assume that, right? It's like, oh, you got a lot of time now. Uh-huh. Why don't you just go write every, you know, write 20 albums?
It's like a half hour is a new song. It's right. It doesn't work like that.
Doesn't, I don't imagine things just turn on and off like that.
No,
so,
no, I wish they did.
Yeah.
But that would be, that'd be easier.
I mean, most of us, it happens in spurts, you know?
Yeah. So when you guys are writing, do you write together? Do you kind of, one of you get an idea and work on it for a while and then get together? Or how?
Oftentimes I'll massage like a chord progression, maybe a melody too, maybe a lyrical line or two, and then I'll like bring it to Katie to help turn it into something more real, more substantial.
Or vice versa. Like I'm much more of a lyricist and like kind of just melodies, like, because I don't play guitar or anything like that. I don't play guitar. So it's like I don't write like from that perspective. I write from a much more like lyrical standpoint. So I might have like a page of lyrics and take them to Ben and be like, let's work on this. It's definitely been, I feel like every single song on the album, if we walked through it, it was different for every single song. Like it's not one clear like this like X plus Y equals Z, you know? It's like sometimes it's totally random, like completely random. Like the first single we released on our album, Ben like played three chords and I was like, I love that, and I recorded it on my phone and I sat down and wrote the whole song in like 20 minutes. But then the title track of the album, Still Not Giving You Up, Ben wrote that melody and the lyric, just like the chorus lyric and the chord progression, like years ago.
We've always loved it,
but it never really materialized.
It's not coming together yet. It's
and
fun,
then in the studio, we were like, we want this to be something. And then it just one day happened. And so it's been super. I don't think any two songs have been written like in the exact same way.
Following the same formula.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you know, I suppose there, if there was a formula that worked, right? I don't know. Maybe in some ways that would be comforting because it's when it's crunch time and you need one, it's probably a little more likely that you might be able to do it. But on the other hand, I gotta imagine that it's kind of nice for things to be, you know, the fact that there isn't a formula, I think, is probably going to lead to results that aren't formulaic either.
Right.
Maybe that's not true, but it seems like probably, you know.
And I think that's something we seek as well.
Yeah.
We like to, you know, some bands sound formulaic. It's like, yep, that's that band, you know.
Right, right, yeah.
And it's, yeah, I think maybe our chaos is.
Yeah. I think it also helps give us both, like, an equal voice, because I think it could easily become more somebody's songwriting project than the other. And so I think by having it be kind of at random, like sometimes Ben would sit down and write 10 songs and I haven't done anything in 3 weeks. But then like, you know, 5 days later, I sit down and I'm in the studio for 4 straight days writing. And it's kind of just like a back and forth of when we're feeling creative, when we want to work together or work separately. Yeah. Like that's something that we found is really important, is to work together, but also to like work separately, because we've find more success in that sometimes than always trying to work together. But I think that helps us give each other more of a voice, you know, and let the other person flush out their ideas and then not feel so like, oh, well, I want her or him to like this and I kind of want to perfect it. So it's like you can flush out your own ideas and then bring it and vice versa. And I don't know. It's pretty chaotic, but it works for us.
Things end up being really joint creations most of the time then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of it, pretty much everything. There's been a few things where it's been Ben basically wrote the entire song and I did nothing and cheered. And it's like, I love it. It's amazing. But for the most part, it's always pretty joint by the end.
Oh yeah.
I think we, I mean, we know that nothing either one of us does individually would be what it was, what it is now, if it weren't for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We push each other.
Yeah.
You know, either further along or off the cliff.
Well, sometimes you probably know. you gotta have a few of those experiences to help guide the ones that work, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
You got a couple more?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do.
Speaking of driving people off a cliff, you can do a love song?
Yeah.
This is a song on our album. It's called Love Song, and we wrote it a couple years ago. And it got a much... Not that I ever expected people to not like it, but it wasn't. It's not one of my personal favorites. And so we didn't play it a lot this spring when we were on tour. And when the album came out, people loved that song. And so we were like, we gotta start playing it again. We gotta bring
the main
it back.
One that we get, yeah, one of the main ones we get some positive feedback on. And
yeah.
Of course, it's Katie's low key least favorite.
It's not my least favorite.
No. Song, but I'm keeping my gloves on, 'cause we'll go another round. We love like there's no tomorrow and drown each other in sorrow, but I still know what I found. Someone who never leave me and ain't tripping to please me, but still trying to see me round. Even if it's all the time, even if we out of mind, somehow you still make it feel fine. You're bringing out a side of me I never knew. You're bringing out a side of me I never knew.
You said this is a love song, but please just keep your pants on, 'cause no one is. But my way is the right side, and baby, you are going down. We fight like there's a tomorrow. We beg, steal, and we borrow to make each other's worlds go round. Oh yeah. Even if it's all the time, even if we out of mind, somehow you still make it feel fine.
You're bringing out a side of me. Time to be quiet when I got you by my side, and we can do this all night. We're going down with the ship, so don't fight it. See, I don't give a word who I'm keeping up. Just don't feel like it's time to be quiet when I got you by my side, and we can do this all night. We're going down with the ship, so don't fight it. right? We got another one for you.
Yeah. We're going to play an older one. A recognizable one.
Is it Hopeless?
Yeah. It's always Hopeless. Us.
Yes. Proudly Hopeless over here.
Proudly Hopeless.
Never give up.
Didn't plan on getting down till I heard you around. You won't see me, yeah, I know, but I'll still be there at the show, where I'll start drinking way too much, thinking about us. Somebody should cut me off before I start dancing like a fool, staring up at you. I don't know if I can stop. I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless over you. It's pointless. My feet in this groove. You should know this. I'm only here for you. You should know this. I'm only here for you. I'm only here for you.
My friends told me I get screwed, and not the way I wanted to. And now my eyes are glued to your every move. So I start drinking way too much, thinking about us. Somebody should cut me off before I start dancing like a fool, staring up at you. I don't know if I can stop. I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless over you. It's pointless. My feet in this groove. You should know this. I'm only here for you. You should know.
Oh!
All right. That was awesome.
Thank you.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to the Local Musician Spotlight. And we've got a taste of what two vocal mics and a guitar can do. A little make a little joyful noise, that's for sure. Well, I want to thank you again for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Glad that that we were able to get something put together. And good luck with moving forward through everything. I'm sure it's not easy, but hopefully things start lining out a little better. And I'll have to go and check out the album. And
it's out there wherever you listen to music.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. And tune in next Wednesday night. We'll be back. Maybe we'll have another. Actually, have somebody else in the studio. That would be a kind of a good move forward. So thanks again for coming in.
Absolutely.